All right, we made it to Friday.
Yay!
We did it. We did it as a team.
Matt Sheehan is here today.
Hello, everyone.
We'll obviously talk a little high school football.
Oh, we will.
May sneak some volleyball in there because I haven't been ignoring it. Mm-hmm. I've been saving it.
Nice.
For when you were here.
Wow, I'm honored.
Because, well, you know a little more about it than I do.
Wow.
I mean, I could sit here and pretend I know what's going on, but all I did was look at the website to see who was playing tonight.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
And who beat who during the week.
Hey, for effort.
You've actually seen.
I have.
Some of the matches that we can bring up here. But we're going to start with the football. And obviously, tomorrow is a battle of two 10-0 teams for the district title. As I'll be there, and I found out that you're going to be there as well.
I will be there. That's right.
It's always good to see a friendly face when you're on the road in a hostile environment.
We're going
to
tailgate together tomorrow. It's going to be great.
We could do that. I get there early enough.
Sweet.
In fact, I'm always there like way before I have to be, but that's,
I got nothing going on in the morning.
You got to test things and make sure there's an emergency that you have time to.
I just got
to
make sure my pencil works.
Yeah. Marysville at, what do you want to call them? Bloomfield Hills, Birmingham, Detroit Country Day.
I feel like you're missing four cities in there,
I feel like it too.
Right.
It's a 1 o'clock kickoff, 12:45 on the stream tomorrow. So we mentioned they're both 10-0. Mm-hmm. Most people in the area have the lowdown on Marysville.
Oh, yeah.
They know about the Vikings. They know about, what the Vikings do. They run the football with anybody and everybody that they've played.
Yep.
You know that they play in the MAC Gold. We know about most of the teams that they play during the course of the year. Country Day, a little bit different animal. We don't really see them too much, although in week one, I did see them when they played Port Huron High School, and I did see them last year against Port Huron High School at their place. So it's not a lot to go on, but I was just looking at their schedule, because in especially in high school sports, you can get yourself beaten just looking at a name.
Sure.
You can look at it and go, oh, it's De La Salle. We're going to get crushed. Oh, it's Brother Rice. They're going to kill us.
Mm-hmm.
And just by the name. And Country Day is one of those teams where, oh, my goodness, we got to go to Country Day. There's Marysville doesn't have a chance. I don't know about that.
No, I don't either.
Okay, they played PH in week one.
Yep.
17 points. That was their season low.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying Marysville would beat PH in a game, but I'm saying it would be a good game.
That'd be a great game. I'd love to see that game.
And if PH can hang with Country Day, there's no reason in my mind that Marysville can't hang with Country Day. And PH did. It was a 7-7 game at halftime. It was a 14-7 game going into the fourth quarter, and it was a 10-point game. And PH was one of just three teams that Country Day played this year who actually finished the season with a winning record. The Big Reds went 5-4. Their next opponent, Pontiac, who they crushed 56-6, went 0-9 this year and is in only the fifth year of their program.
Yeah, tough year for Pontiac.
Then they played Detroit Leadership Academy and crushed them 56-8. This was the first year for Detroit Leadership Academy. This is the first year of their program.
It sounds like a made-up school. Yeah.
They won three games, two of them by forfeit.
Hey, a win's a win. Come on.
Then they played Detroit Voyager, who I don't know a whole lot about, but who's only been around for about 4 or 5 years.
That's another made-up school.
47-0. They finished 4-5 this year. They beat Troy 36-14. Troy had a bad year this year. They were 3-6.
Yeah.
They beat Cesar Chavez 49-0. Chavez had a good year for them. They were 4-5.
Yeah, right on.
That's actually one of their better. They made the playoffs the year before that, playing in a league where nobody else won a game.
Right, yeah.
Marquette, who went 1-8 this year, they beat them 32-0. And then their toughest games were their last two. UAD, they beat by a touchdown, 28-21. Mm-hmm. UAD made it to the playoffs this year.
Yep.
And lost in week one, so they finished 6-3. They played an 8-game regular season.
Mm-hmm.
And they played Temperance Bedford.
There we go.
And only won by a point, 21-20.
Those are two good wins out end of the season.
Yeah.
I mean, not to discredit those wins.
And Bedford is 8-2, and they're still playing. They play Livonia Franklin tonight in a district final. And last week was probably their most impressive win of the season because Cranbrook was a 7-2 football team, and they crushed Cranbrook 35-7.
Cranbrook kind of plays in that league, though, with Everest, Foley, Lakes. I mean, they're in that league as well. To me, the most impressive win on that schedule probably is that U of D game. just I know U of D's been on the rise lately. So that to me, that's probably the most impressive win. But there's not a lot to pick from, to be honest, in the 10-0 record. I mean, that's not to say they're not a great team. They're the number one team in the state. I'm sure they're, you know, amongst the top. I don't know if I would rank the number one per se, but I know they're a top five team in the state, in my opinion.
I'm just looking at that and going, how do they have more playoff points than anybody else?
Because
there aren't a lot of big wins in there other than, you know, the U of D and the Temperance Bedford. Those are going to get you points, but those other games, even the PH win, it's not going to get you a ton of
probably
points.
Probably the size of the schools helped because, I mean, Troy's a big school. PH is obviously a big school. U of D, Temperance Bedford is a big school. So that, I mean, maybe class has to do with it, but yeah.
So far through the 10 games, they've played a schedule of teams that are 41 and 51, and two of the 41 wins were forfeits.
Yeah, true. Shutout wins. Two of them were shutout wins.
2-0 victories. So, you know, Marysville, to me, has played maybe a stronger schedule. I don't know.
Yeah, you could argue that.
I'll put it this way.
A more consistent schedule.
Northern, Marine City, and St. Clair are better than Pontiac, Leadership, Voyager, Chavez, and Marquette.
Probably even Troy, too.
Yeah.
To be honest, yeah. The Marysville, they've had consistent competition. Week to week, there's always a good opponent against Marysville. Maybe save Lakeshore and... I mean, Warner's Tower even gave them a fight.
Yeah, by the end of the year. By the time Tower
was clicking,
Marysville,
right.
They were playing good football.
Yeah, Tower's last third of the season was good. I mean, despite the lack of wins, they were playing solid football. And with all this, really, what sticks out the most is that this game is going to be close tomorrow, in my opinion. I mean, just doing the research on both teams, I mean, there's no reason to think that, Country Day, number one team in the state, blowout tomorrow. No, I think it's going to be a close game. And
now, you've heard that Phil Grefor is cleared to play tomorrow, but his status is still kind of...
cleared, but still hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting, and that'd be obviously a big loss. You got your number two running back right there, who plays like... he would be any other team's number one running back.
Rushed for 1,000 yards. And
right. He'd be any other team's number one running back, backup on snapper. He's the field goal kick holder, like you were saying earlier.
And he's another quarterback back there if you want to run a trick play.
Exactly. Exactly. Then again, you look at Carson Warren, see what he did last week, too. That's impressive. You're going to need a guy in the next man up mentality to really embrace that. And just from the stat line, I wasn't there at the game last week, but from the stat line, it looks like he's ready to take that role.
Yeah, he jumped in. He was huge. Three fourth quarter touchdowns in a playoff game that
was a shootout.
He wasn't playing. And to be honest about it, because I've seen five Vikings games this year, the first half of the season, he was that third back when they load up and go with the three back backfield, but he very rarely did anything but block. And towards the end of the season, like when they played St. Clair, they didn't even have him in the backfield. Hunter Delore was in the backfield. Sargent was in the backfield. They had different guys back there, so he had kind of been moved to do other things. And then when the injury happened in a playoff game, they went back to him and they gave him the football. And you know, I realized probably at that point, Southlake is thinking we've got to stop check now that Grefor is out of the game, and maybe they surprised him a little bit. But Carson Warren ran the ball hard.
Yep,
he got big gain. He had a huge average. I mean, he's averaging about 10 yards a carry.
It's not too bad.
So he did a very good job for him back there. And he did have one big game. I know in week two, I don't think Grefor played in week two, and he rushed for over 70 yards in that game. He's a nice weapon to have, but let's not kid ourselves. Phil Grefor is, if we made a list of the top 10 backs in our area, he's on that list.
No brainer.
Pretty high up there with Dante Cech. I mean, those two guys are an amazing tandem that have rushed for about 2,600 yards this year and scored well over 30 touchdowns for their team.
I would even put Grefor top five, to be honest.
I mean, he's that good.
Yep.
And he gets second billing only because they have Check.
And you wonder why they're 10-0. That's
I don't.
That certainly helps. Yeah, that's true.
Drives,
I guess not everyone wonders.
You know, if you put together drives, too, at Country Day, you can keep that score low. You can keep that score close. You can keep your defense off the field.
Defense off the field is going to be big,
So I think tomorrow could be an interesting
game. It'll be a good game. Yeah, I'm excited for it. Sure, it's a bummer. You got to take that far bus ride over there, middle of the day on a Saturday. But, yeah, hey, you know, got to do it.
It gives me my Friday night.
Oh, look at that. See, they're looking out for you.
I'm happy about that tonight. And then tomorrow I'm going to get up and go, oh, man, I got to go football game. But once
a great football game.
Yeah, once I'm there and once you get going, then you forget all that stuff because it's going to be a lot of fun.
Unbelievable. We have a 10-0 versus 10-0 matchup in week two of the playoffs.
This is what, to me, this should have been the regional final matchup. Yeah. These two teams should have been in separate districts.
I think so, too. Yeah. I mean, this is only one of two 10-0 versus 10-0 games going on in the whole state for 11-man football. We also got Deckerville. They're also undefeated going against New Haven Merritt. But, yeah, Saugatuck over on that west side of the state is facing another undefeated team in Division 7, but it's rare. Got some rare football tomorrow.
Some rare football tomorrow. Tonight, Elginac and Elmont meet for the second time. You saw the first meeting. It was way back in week two.
I was going to say, well, I had to go back there in the memory bank.
Yeah, 14-7, Elginac won it. But here's two things about that.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, Elginac's defense, which is terrific, the best in the area, was already at the top of its game. But the Elginac offense hadn't really gotten it together yet. You know, Garshot was gone.
Yep.
Piper, it was only his second game at quarterback. They struggled a little bit at Marine City in week one.
Yep.
They only put up 14. But now fast forward ahead to week 11.
Mm-hmm.
Their offense is fine now.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's got their roles defined and they know what they're doing.
Yep.
I don't think this is going to be a 14-7 football game. I like Elginac to win, and I like them to win by three touchdowns.
Wow.
I think what Elmont did last week at Richmond was sensational. It was incredible, but it was also a fluke.
Right. And also, Joe McKee, I'm assuming, is going to play the entire game. He had to miss the second half earlier in the season against Elmont. He had an injury, but now he's back. I mean, he's a great back. You talk about top five running backs. He's definitely in the top 10.
Jack Jules coming off a big game
Jack
against Denby.
Jack Jules having a phenomenal season. I mean, Ian Oleski at receiver, Nick Folkerts at receiver. I mean, the Elginac offense is clicking, and I would say that Elginac is going to win by three touchdowns if last week didn't happen with Elmont. I was floored that Elmont beat Richmond. Just
floored.
Well,
when I saw 20-0 in the first quarter,
I thought that's what I expected.
I had that one chalked up.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to have a Richmond-Elginac rematch next week.
Yeah.
Get ready for that one, folks.
I'm going to be honest. I thought Richmond-Elginac matchup like in week eight, like after seeing Richmond play that, because I was thinking, wow, Richmond, that's a hot team right now. How can anyone beat them? And hello, Elmont. I mean, that's incredible. I think it'll be a close game.
Elmont's been playing playoff games since week seven.
True.
Because they were 3-3. They had to win out to get in.
Yep.
And I give them all the credit, and they are a great football team, and this is where they are every year in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
They get to, I mean, they're a team that has been to the semifinals. They're a team that gets this far and that doesn't go out in the first round, but I didn't expect them to win, and I don't expect them to win this one. I'm going to go Elginac 28, Elmont 7. I just, that's the way it's at the swamp.
Yeah,
that's to me. That's worth a touchdown right there.
It might as well be. Yeah.
And then you know, 21-7 seems reasonable to me. The rest of the way, they play defense.
Yeah.
And you know, like I say, I like Elginac.
Give me 21-17.
21-17.
Yeah.
So Elginac's
got a good kicker.
Closer.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it will be a close game. I do. I would be surprised with anything two touchdowns and beyond. Really, I would because man. Elmont really, really surprised me last week. And just like you said, they've been playing playoff football for 4 weeks now. So they're clicking.
We'll see. I got a feeling. I like Elginac in that one by a little bit more.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Deckerville and New Haven Merritt is also tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested in this one, not because we all think Deckerville is going to win, but I want to see where a 10-0 New Haven Merritt team stacks up. Again, this is the measuring stick. This is where we find out just how good is Merritt when we see the final score for this football game.
For
how
sure.
close are they to being really reckoned with?
Yep, absolutely. And even last week, Weberville, I mean, that's a team that was scoring points in bundles. And I thought, well, they're going to give Deckerville a game. Wow, this is going to be great. No. Another shutout. Like, come on.
40-0.
Another shutout against Weberville, who's averaging upwards of 50 points a game, I think. And, you know, they played it close against Portland St. Patrick's, who's a great team. Battle Creek St. Philippe. And Deckerville said, no, we're just going to hang up a 42 spot on you and end this one quick.
Yeah, but this is why Merritt intrigues me a little bit, because when they played Owen Gage in the season, it was a 4-point ball game.
Yeah.
They crushed them.
Yeah.
52-14 is a spanking.
Yeah.
Against a team that only had one loss
right
this season and, you know, scores about 60 points a game.
Right.
I'm interested to see. I know the schedules are a little bit different. I think Deckerville faces tougher teams.
Very tough.
I know they blow everybody out, but Kingston and Mayville and Dryden are not bad 8-man football programs.
Mm-hmm.
And if they played in the same league that Merritt and Owen Gage play in, they would win a lot more games.
Yeah.
But they've got to play teams like Deckerville and Peck instead and each other. And it hurts their win percentages a little bit. But Deckerville should win that game, but I'm interested to see how Merritt hangs with them.
Yeah.
We got to take a break. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Dennis Stuckey Show on 1380 WPHM.
All right, welcome back. Seems like we were gone a long time.
I was going to say.
All right, let's. The volleyball districts have been going on all week.
Yeah, they have.
Most of the finals are set for tonight. Some have actually already happened. I'm going to start over in Class A. Port Huron High and Port Huron Northern were over at Lance Cruz North this week. They both lost to Romeo, who's in the finals against Dakota. The final there is actually tomorrow. Dakota got there by beating Anchor Bay and the host school. Lance Cruz North. I had Coach Langolf from Northern on early in the season. They had some really nice moments this year.
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
That's a program that's had a couple of, you know, kind of down years, but I think they started to turn the corner this year. Couple of Class B districts. North Branch defeated Elmont in the final last night. North Branch had beaten Otisville, Lakeville, and Croslex, who had beaten Yale early in the week.
Mm-hmm.
And Elmont beat Imlay City and Carroll. But you tell me North Branch is a powerhouse.
They are the real deal. Yeah, I expect to read their names from here on out until the state finals roll around.
All right, one that you'll see tonight over at Marysville. Marysville mm-hmm. takes on St. Clair. The Vikings have beaten Algonac and Marine City along the way.
Yep.
And St. Clair has beaten Richmond and Armada along the way. I guess the Marysville-Marine City match was a really good one.
Yeah, last night it was. Marysville took that 3-1. I was interested to see what would happen with that match. Joseph Hayes was there last night. It was a tale of two seasons. Marysville, they kind of had a tough year, but they're in the MAC Red. Three divisions lower, Marine City had a phenomenal season in the MAC Gold, won the conference title again. And Marine City was a team that they didn't have one standout player. They had 7 or 8 good players that all played in harmony together. Like you can get points from anyone on the court at any given time from those players. But hey, I mean, Marysville, they've gone through the fire of the MAC Red, and it's starting to pay off now.
Yeah. So St. Clair tonight, Marysville has won 20-something districts in a row, whatever it is.
Yeah, it's a high number.
you think somebody's got to beat them at some point. Can St. Clair be that team, or is Marysville going to roll on to another regional?
I would be very surprised if St. Clair was to beat them tonight. That's not to say they can't, but it would be a shock. I got to get there about 2 minutes earlier than I planned to, though, just to count the numbers on the banners at Marysville, so just so I can get that number of straight districts in a row that they have. I mean,
it's a lot.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
It's got to be 20-something.
I think they have 2 or 3 banners up there just to hold all the numbers up there. Yeah. They're keeping the banner industry intact.
Yes, yes, they are. Brown City and Memphis meet tonight in the Class C final at New Haven. Memphis beat Dryden in New Haven. Brown City beat KPAC and Landmark Academy. Brown City's the real deal, aren't
they? They're so good. So good. I mean, semifinals last year, I would expect them to be for sure in the quarterfinals again this year. I mean, just looking at the regional, it looks like things play into their favor there. They return a lot of talent from last year's team, especially with Becky Krause as the outside hitter. I would be floored if they lose tonight. And really, I'd be surprised if they lose before quarterfinals roll around here.
Yeah, and it's not like Memphis doesn't know what they're in for. They're obviously league opponents. They've seen Brown City, and they're probably not happy to have to see them again.
No. But Brown City's head coach said if she could pick one team in the area that's improved over the year, it's Memphis. So, I mean, maybe the Yellow Jackets can pull off a surprise, but I'd be very, very surprised to see Brown City fall.
The other Class C was over at Marlette, where Reese beat Sandusky last night for the final. Reese had beaten Genesee and Marlette. Marlette had beaten Vassar. Sandusky got there by beating Millington and Kingston. Reese moves on there. And in Class D, you were surprised when I told you that the final tonight is Austin Catholic against Parkway Christian. Austin Catholic beat Merritt. Parkway beat New Life, and then they beat Cardinal Mooney, who you tell me is one of the top 10 teams.
Yeah, they were ranked inside the top 10 for Class D throughout the entire season. I saw them earlier this year. It didn't look like they were as good as the last three teams that went to quarterfinals in Class D, but I thought they were good enough to get out of their district. But, hey, I mean, that's the thing with high school sports. Anything can happen any day. So,
well, here's the thing. We're guaranteed at least two area teams in volleyball will be playing in the regionals.
You got that right. That's right. There you go. Let's keep the season rolling.
There you got Marysville and St. Clair tonight over at Marysville. Yep. And Memphis-Brown City tonight. That final is in New Haven for the girls volleyball. All right, got to take another quick break here, and then we'll be back to wrap up hour number one of the Dennis Stuckey Show. We go to 4:30 today, and then it's the Mark D'Antonio Show on WPHM.
Back to more Dennis Stuckey on Information 1380 WPHM.
Well, now that the World Series is over, teams start announcing moves, and the Tigers are just winning the hearts of millions of fans with moving Lloyd McClendon up to hitting coach.
Yep.
Now they've traded Cameron Maben to the Angels for a double-A pitching prospect named Victor Alcantara.
Nice job.
I don't know if that's how you say it or not, but that's how I'm going to say it.
Taking your word for it, yeah.
5 minor league seasons for Victor, and he's 24-34 with a 4.60 ERA, 250 walks, and 503 innings. That's a half a walk an inning for those of you keeping track. That's not good for those of you keeping track.
No, maybe they have a different count in minor league baseball, like a 1-3 count. One ball gets a walk, maybe? No, that's not it? Oh, okay.
So to kind of say he's kind of wild, the whip is high.
It's like 1.5.
He's used to pitching with guys on base, is what we're telling
you. Yeah.
So he should fit right in, right?
Yeah, he's getting that experience out of the way. Good for him. Or as I said, he just always sets himself up for the double play.
This appears to be less about what the Tigers were getting in return, because obviously this guy's not big league ready, right, and at best he's going to pitch in Toledo, if not Erie, this season. Mm-hmm. But it was more about dumping $9 million, which is what they would have had to pay Cameron Maben to stay,
yep,
or if they were going to just buy him out, it still would have cost them $1 million. This way, it doesn't cost them anything. He can go to the Angels. No, he's not going to play center field for the Angels because they have some guy named Trout.
Yeah.
So he'll play one of the corner outfield positions, and it is what it is. Maben had a very good year for the Tigers. This is what's hard for Tiger fans, because he had a very good year for the Tigers.
Best year of his career, yeah.
But that's the point. It's the best year of his career, and all the numbers suggested that he wouldn't repeat that. Plus, he does get hurt a lot. So you got pros and cons, because the Tigers were a different team when he played.
Yeah.
But he didn't play quite enough for it to make a difference. And he probably played a little over his head this year. But this is just the start, in my opinion.
It's just the first snowflake of the avalanche. Yeah, this is, yep. And that was kind of hard to read on Twitter that they traded Maben, because that was like the feeling like, yeah, it's finally happening.
Yeah,
like the fire sale is finally happening. And the fan in me, oh, knife of the heart.
Yeah. but again, let's use the Cubs and the Indians as an example.
Yeah.
5 years ago, the Cubs lost 101 games, and the Indians had a losing season.
Yep.
And it's tough, but for me, I said it way back in June, the fastest way to get there is to lose for a couple of years.
Yeah, it goes in waves. I mean, it's so wavy, unless you're from St. Louis and you're the Cardinals. It goes in waves.
But I mean, it's really weird. You have to get good in baseball, you have to be bad. To get good in the NBA, you have to be bad.
Right.
Because lottery teams or lottery picks in today's NBA suddenly make you a good team.
Big difference between the number 5th pick and the 12th pick in the NBA draft. Huge difference.
And if you're kind of in limbo in the NBA, if you're not already one of the power 5 teams,
right,
you've got to be one of the worst 5 teams
to
get up to power 5 status.
Anywhere else is purgatory.
And if you're in the middle, you're in the middle, and you're going to stay in the middle for the rest of your life.
Like where the Pistons have been lately. But, I mean, they're starting to do some things. But, yeah, just like you're saying, it's either you're great or you got to be bad to get great.
Yeah. So we'll see. They picked up the option on Rodriguez for $6 million, but that might only be so that they have control to trade him now.
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking, too. That's going to be, I would imagine, a deadline piece unless the Tigers stun people and are in the race come deadline time.
Yeah, we'll see. If they don't make more moves now, and, oh, happy belated birthday. Somebody just came in the studio who had a birthday the other day, and I didn't see them. The Tigers, if they don't make more moves this offseason, by the deadline, you may see J.D. Martinez, Ian Kinsler.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are the two most tradable pieces.
Yep.
I mean, ideally, Verlander or Cabrera, because it's going to net you a mint.
Right.
But those contracts are just so huge. And remember, they're still paying $6 million a year on Prince Fielder until the 2020s.
Mm-hmm.
They're paying Verlander and Cabrera into the 2020s.
Yeah, and Verlander has to agree to the trade, too. He's got the no-trade clause.
And so does Cabrera.
Cabrera does, too. Okay, okay. Yeah, the only place I could see JV going to is either Chicago or L.A. I'm not even sure the Cubs would trade for Verlander anymore.
Would teams want Victor Martinez? Yes. Teams would want Victor Martinez. Are they going to give you anything for him? No, because teams that trade for him know they're only going to get probably a year out of him.
Right, yeah. A year of just DHing.
Yeah, a year of DHing, so that limits you to only working with American League teams for a trade. National League team's not going to trade for Victor Martinez.
Mm-hmm.
There's the money issue. You're probably going to have to swallow a little bit of his contract.
Yeah.
You're not going to get much for him because he's basically a rental player for those other teams.
Yeah, it's sad because I'm sure they are trying to push Verlander. I don't know if maybe now or in the future around the deadline time, but I'm sure they would love to get rid of his contract. I mean,
there are teams out there that would want him.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
But if Fulmer, Norris, and Boyd aren't terrific for you this season, how can you move Verlander?
Yeah.
Then you've got absolutely no pitching if those guys don't come through.
Well, and that's how you get the 100 loss season that you need to get those draft picks.
They're just very interesting to me because what if, okay, Verlander wins 17 games next year?
Mm-hmm.
What if Zimmerman comes back healthy and wins you 15?
Yeah.
What if Fulmer's the real deal
mm-hmm.
and he wins you 15, 16 games next year? And what if Norris and Boyd
are serviceable?
And are 10, 12 game winners for you.
Mm.
Now all of a sudden.
You forgot Pelfrey. You forgot Mike Pelfrey.
You know, I didn't forget him. I'm just hoping for that train wreck with him and Lowe.
Yeah.
But I mean, assuming that those are the five, that the Tigers smartly go with those five guys and Barry Sanchez and Pelfrey in the bullpen because, yes, they're going to have them back because, yes, they make too much money.
Right, yeah.
And, no, nobody's going to take them off our hands.
Absolutely not, no.
They're an intriguing team because they are really close, and yet they're so far away.
Yeah. Do you think Kinsler and or JD make it to opening day? I don't think JD will.
I don't think both of them do.
Okay. It's one or the other, you think?
It's one or the other.
I think JD will not make it to opening day. He's a hot commodity.
He's a real hot commodity, and the reason that the Tigers would part with him, people are like, why would they trade him? Because he's a free agent at the end of this year, and they're apparently done giving out the big contracts.
Yeah.
Upton was the last big contract, and that's going to, for a lot of Tiger fans, that one is you say that name and the vein pops out in their forehead.
The last month helped his cause, though. The last month.
There's still more haters than likers.
Yeah, for sure, yeah. He needed two good months to really.
All right, so Michigan goes to 9-0 this week
mm-hmm.
with a win over Maryland. And they're trying to make it sound interesting because the Maryland coach was an assistant at Michigan. But this game is not interesting.
No.
So it's not often that I would spend time talking about two and six teams.
Oh, I'll spend all day on them.
This has got to be the week for the Spartans, doesn't it?
You can't lose seven in a row. It's impossible to lose seven in a row. Right? Isn't that the old saying?
Nothing's impossible.
No, they're 9.5-point favorites, which is how crazy is that to hear? Yeah. Oh, this season's been so sad.
Of course, Illinois's got one Big Ten win, if you want to count Rutgers as a Big Ten win.
No, I don't, actually. No.
When do we get to play Rutgers?
Next weekend. Next weekend at home. Woo! All right. Pencil
so
the W.
If it, so if it goes to seven, it won't go to eight.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they lost to Rutgers, you'd have to fire D'Antonio.
Oh, if they... you might just say, you know what, this was fun. We're stopping football now. All of our concentration goes to basketball from here on out. Yeah, you shut down the football program completely if you lose to Rutgers.
Is this going to be a good ball game, or what are we looking for? Michigan State, Illinois.
Oh,
I don't know much about Illinois. They haven't been good for a long time, so I can't really pay attention to them.
Is Juice Williams still their quarterback? Is he still a QB for them? I don't know. Yeah, I can't sit here and lie to you and act like I know a thing about Illinois other than that Lovie Smith is their head coach.
I didn't even know that until I read an article earlier this week.
How about that, huh? Right.
I didn't realize that that's where Lovie ended up. He should be coaching the Lions.
Yeah, right. you have to win here. If you don't lose to Illinois, I don't know. That's the thing. There's been so many bad wins this year that what's another one? But you want to see what I want to see is the young guys do well. Like the offensive linemen, they had a decent game last weekend. Young receivers, decent game. Lewerke's done for the season. Tyler O'Connor, you just got to hope that you get something out of him. But I mean, really, I'm just starting to think about next year already.
Yeah. What do you think about Friday night football in the Big Ten?
You know, I don't hate it. I don't. I know a lot of people have issue with it, especially like I've been reading columns from Indiana and Iowa, stuff like that, because those are teams that have agreed to play Friday night. You obviously have Michigan, who doesn't want to do Friday night games. MSU is only going to do one Friday night game, and that's on Labor Day, like they've always done. But I don't know. I don't know how many people just go to high school football games.
Well, I know I do. See, I'm a Friday night for high school. Saturday for college, Sunday
right.
for pro.
And that's the thing. But would Purdue versus Iowa draw you away from the high school football game?
No,
exactly. Like which is
my point. Why play it then? Because nobody's going to watch it.
Oh, if the Big Ten wants to do it, I'll let them make their own mistakes. Yeah, but I mean, if I'm home on a Friday night and I got nothing going on, it's nice to have on TV. And if I'm not interested in the local high school football game, like this is assuming that I'm taking myself out of my job. Obviously, I'm going to show up to high school football games and cover them. But if I'm just an average Joe who doesn't care for high school football in the area, it'd be nice to have a college football game on Friday night.
Yeah, see, but I don't know what it's like. I know high school football, I think, is big in Ohio.
Oh, sure.
It's obviously
huge
here in Michigan.
Yep, in Iowa, too.
I don't know about Wisconsin. I don't, you know, I think in the Chicago area, which is where Northwestern plays out of, I think high school football is big in the Chicago area.
Right.
Because a lot of those kids, you know, are getting looked at. But I don't know how big high school football is on a Friday night in Indiana.
I don't think Northwestern versus Minnesota would pull those diehard high school football fans away from the game to go watch that game on TV. I don't think it's going to be as damaging to high school football as a lot of people think it is. Yeah. That's my opinion.
Nick Cromwell's back for the Red Wings tonight. They play the Jets. That's right here on WPHM, and we'll see you on Monday.